How do we make and multiply disciples around the block and around the world? Special guests, co-laborers from around the United States and around the world sit down with the More Disciples team to explore how believers can come together to make more disciples. Welcome to the More Disciples podcast.
You're listening to or watching a More Disciples podcast, season 3. I'm Dori Yuen from Channel Church San Francisco. And together we have John Harima, Big Life.
Great to be here.
Doug Lucas, Team Expansion.
Hello.
And who's this guy? Oh, Lee Wood, L1A Church, Fort Myers.
Great to be here.
And we also have our guests today, Jared Nelms and Scott Cheatham. Jared is, Timothy Initiative, right? Correct? You're working for that. And Scott, you're E3. Just want to introduce you. I got to have to share a story, though, talking about co-laboring, since everybody's sharing stories. So I was lost. I didn't know what I was doing 2018 at a church, you know, like kind of in a church building, you know. And then there was a conference in Orlando, and I went, and I saw Jared there. He was hosting a workshop. So I got in there. And it blew my mind, you know, that weekend. And there I also get to meet Curtis Sargent, who eventually came and trained us, you know, in California. And the next thing I did was I blew up my church, and we're doing movement over in California. Wow. And today I'm the host. Getting to meet Jared here again.
Wow.
Nice to see you again. Awesome. Thank you for what you've done.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. Praise God. That's cool.
Thank you for inviting Curtis too. See how that works together, yeah. You know, for the kingdom.
True.
So Jared and Scott, why don't you share a little bit of how we can work together, or how you have been seeing the collaboration?
Have you guys thought about merging organizations?
Well, we already look close enough alike, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, why have two different organizations? Yeah. We can have TTI and E3 Partners together.
And only one of you would have to show up to the office, and they'd think you're both there.
That's funny. We get accused of being brothers all the time, and so we get or being related in some fashion. But I think God just had the same plan for our bald heads. But no, I think
we would merge with you. Team Expansion would merge. Let's merge all three organizations.
Well, that would require you to shave your head, brother. So I don't
know. I'm in.
You look like you guys took lots of love.
I don't mind shaving my head, but could you guys grow beards?
Oh.
I can tell you that's absolutely not the case. But no, I think that obviously in the spirit of collaboration and honestly, to kind of kick this off and what we see God doing right now, that there is an absolute John 17 moment kind of happening in the body of Christ, that there's this spirit of God that's permeating in Christendom of what is it going to take for Jesus's prayer to come to fruition, this one in the body of Christ, so that people will know. And so we're seeing that. It's nothing that we're manufacturing. God is manufacturing this, and he's just given us the opportunity and the blessing to kind of step into this season that he's prepared in advance for the body of Christ. And so we're truly excited about what God's doing from a collaborative standpoint on the Spirit of God that we're seeing.
Cool. Well, can you guys give a little background of how you both became convicted to, get Coalition of the Willing started and have this vision of organizations coming together, not caring about their name or their own goals, but just to come together and share information and to, see organizations running fast forward to see his name glorified. How did that all start?
Jared?
I remember. I was at the conference.
Scott said he needed a pretty face and he was the brains. So
he needed the eye candy. I get it, Jared. Yeah, it's obvious.
I'm not getting it.
I think maybe coming back to the original point, I think anytime you go to places with people, you end up learning something or looking smarter. And I think with when I brought Curtis with me to that meeting, I learned stuff from him and I looked smarter because I was with him. And I think same thing with Scott. We actually met at a few different kind of network type meetings where there was a little bit of holy dissatisfaction inside of us in the way that collaboration was taking place. And we were young and crazy enough. We said, why don't we just keep the conversation going? If we're not seeing the type of collaboration that we desire to see or feel like should be happening, maybe we need to model that amongst the two of us. And I think the conversation continued. And as we were talking, more and more people seemed to feel the same way. So that kind of culminated after two or three or four different network meetings where a group of people basically got together and said, hey, we're willing to work together. We're willing to share information on where the church is and where the church isn't so that we can maximize our kingdom impact and get the gospel to the ends of the earth. So that's kind of the genesis, I guess you could say, of the Coalition of the Willing, just willing ministry leaders who desired to work together in a way that they hadn't already been.
Yeah, I got a sort of a question inside of here. So I'm from Louisiana as well. So it might not be lucid brevity, but hopefully you'll be able to translate Lee. A couple of things I've learned over 10 years is one, it's always relational before it's organizational. And the eighth thing that I've learned in 10 years is that we can totally collaborate with everyone everywhere at some level, but we cannot collaborate with everyone at every level. But that doesn't mean that we're not pursuing love and unity as disciples and churches. Like, we can totally do those things and totally be the image bearers of John chapter 17. So contrary to what Doug and John say, okay, I think you guys are both good looking and smart, okay? So what we have on the show here is we have like Jared representing relationally to me a brother in Christ, okay? Not like the org of Timothy Initiative, and Scott the same way as like, man, I was an orphan. I'm not an orphan. This is a brother in Christ. We're tugging on the same end of the rope with movement. Doug, I feel the same way about you. Like, I don't think about you. I get like team expansion, administration, operation, but I love you. Yeah. Same thing with John Harrima and a person. So here's the question. That was all preface. So how do we collaborate relationally and all the things that we agree with as closely as we can, but identifying relationally with Jesus as King? Because I think people think organizationally in a Western context. Mm-hmm. I think they think through my training is a little bit different from yours, like method idolatry. Like, man, we believe almost exactly the same stuff and are on the same page to grow where we got it, to go to where it's not. How do we overcome sort of the challenge of organizational thinking before relational thinking to actually collaborate more closely with one another so the expression of John chapter 17 emerges? So that's actually my question. I didn't get to there short or clear, but I'm hoping you guys can answer that.
Before the how, I actually am interested to, let's just be frank, okay?
What are I'm the Lee, actual- though. I can't be frank.
What are the challenges? Like, why can't we work together?
I think inside my question was part of it. Yeah. Is like people in a Western context think organizationally.
You guys can't even agree on the question.
How are we going to answer? Hey guys, we're going to send you a new link, and Doug and I are going to catch up with you. So
I'm going to ask Jared and Scott first. why can't, like, just be like, let's be frank, why can't we work together?
Well, I think that Jared, feel free to speak up to this, but I think Brother Lee was onto something there. Like, the inside of his question is the why it's not currently working or is not happening at the scale in which I believe that God's asking us to step into. And it's primarily, if I can for a second, it's primarily linked to our identity, and it's primarily linked to our roles, our responsibilities, our org identities, our titles, our positions, our impact, the necessity oftentimes to feel like we need to have the credit put towards us or our organization. And so oftentimes, and I've said this here pretty often, is that a lot of people are willing to collaborate. But the question is are they ready to collaborate? Willingness versus readiness are two different things. And the readiness means dying to self, willing to own your identity. And once we once we're owning our identity in Christ, then you're not giving anything away that's yours to begin with. And so that's the crux of this conversation. Yes, practically collaboration. Yes, practically, how does that work on the field? How do you collaborate on church planting efforts and discipleship and theological things? And so there's some practical implications to all that, but it starts with, this is not about me. This is not mine. I'm willing to die to the credit and my own identity for the greater good of the kingdom of God. Then we're ready to step into a relationship and a conversation where it is brother to brother. It is through the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Church of God, the body of Christ, working together. And so, don't mean to preach, but it's really the crux of collaboration. Is first understanding this is not about you or your org. This is about the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And are you willing to own your identity in Christ first and foremost? And then giving it away, it's pretty easy after that, because it's not about you and what you're building.
Maybe I could add to the long question a slightly different angle.
Thank you for acknowledging the obvious.
Yeah. I like that word method idolatry. I never heard that before, Lee. That's a good one. And I think as I was thinking about it, throughout history, God places a vision into the hearts of men and women, not into the organizational bylaws. But at the same time, I've said it before, especially in the church planning world, the methodologies that we each employ are kind of like babies, and we all think our baby is the cutest. So there is something to be said about not having, like, why doesn't one group adopt the other one? There's pros and cons with every strategy, I think, and people kind of end up camping out where they feel like it's going to be the most impactful. And one of the things we've tried to do, and I think we've done an okay job, there's always room to improve, is to focus less on the methodology of what we're doing and focus more on the vision and the heart of who God is and what he's called us to do. And understanding that we all know Curtis is smarter than all of us. But at the same time, God uses different peoples and different ways to accomplish ultimately the same aim, which is to bring him glory and make his name known. So I think it's also an intentional decision that you have to make, that we have made. We do represent organizations when we speak, but first and foremost, we're friends. And that means sometimes we're talking about personal things. The reality is oftentimes we're talking about personal things, not ministry or an organizational issues and objectives. So there's a deep commitment to a relationship first, and the everything else comes out of that.
Yeah, man, that is readiness, that part of willingness before readiness, and that we're friends first. That's the relational piece. Like, you guys don't know my story, but I keep telling it, like, I'm not an orphan anymore. That's my first childhood memory, being dropped off at the orphanage. And so, man, I'm not in competition with anybody. We need one another. The fact that I was a part of a family, we know we've passed from death to life because we love one another. By this shall all men know that we're his disciples and that we have love one for another. Man, like, love's a strategy, dude. Like, it's Jesus's strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's in the Bible. Love one another. What a concept.
I remember being at the Finishing the Task conference, and Curtis came up to me. Chris, I didn't know you guys from Adam, so I would have never come to a meeting that you guys invited us to. If you'd gotten up on the platform, even, and I know you wouldn't have, but if you'd gotten up on the platform to ask people to come, I would have gone to some other room and worked on my laptop because I didn't know you guys. But Curtis came up, and in 10 seconds, he said, hey, six of us are getting together over in this room about a new idea. I think you'll really want to be there. I'm in. I just walked. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't know who was inviting. It didn't matter because Curtis said, you should come to this. I'm writing him right now. I'm saying I'm playing a new little game to see if in any of these podcasts, we can ever go through an entire episode and not mention his name. I don't think it's happened yet. That relational, you know, like a stock that he has, it connected us with you, and that helped us to understand collision handling. It should be that we take a quick 5-second, you know, sidebar and ask you guys, would you tell the viewers, what is coalition willing? Because we haven't said that yet. What is it, and how does it bring organizations together? Just so people know, please.
Yeah, please.
No, I think basically by the definition of coalition, or our purpose, is that we are a willing group of ministries who are committed to working together to see the gospel go to every village, every people, and every place. And so we use information and the willingness to share information across regions of the world to identify gaps and then spearhead initiatives inside of countries to potentially see a church in every village. And so we use information as a means to the end. The end for us is to collaborate and coordinate our efforts to potentially see the gospel go to every place.
It's awesome. Anything to add, Jared?
No, I don't think so. That's a good summary. Willing and able is the key. The rest will take care of itself with that.
How about ready? Willing, able, and ready?
That's good, John.
Well, there's a process that we've identified that it takes sometimes for people to get ready. And so lots of folks are willing, but through relationship and time and building trust, readiness forms, reorientation of organizations, ministries, alliances begin to happen when they find that we're able to potentially do this. And so that readiness comes depending on where folks enter the conversation at.
So I think it's interesting. I'm always good for Bible verses, okay? So if at first there be a willing mind, God works in us both to will and to do. Volition happens before action. Activity that doesn't stem from relationship with God and others is not faith. So we're going to ask a question because I have another one. So I defer to the elder.
John, I was just going to ask, you know, incredible vision. And I know that, you know, getting everybody ready probably takes time. What's the greatest win so far that you've seen that you get up every morning and you're just excited about what the Lord's doing through the Coalition of the Willing?
Jared?
Well, usually it's one step forward and two steps back on most days. So I think on the one step forward,
is
one of the
progress?
Things that... Yeah. Well, sometimes it is. I think from what I've seen, there's a general consensus in terms of the vision. There's still a lot of steps to figure out how we accomplish. But I think when people are actually using information that's been generated through collaborative efforts to actually target the places that they're prioritizing, where they're making disciples and planting churches, and they're choosing those places because they're based on the collaborative efforts, we have identified that there's no Christians and no churches in this place. And those places are actually being engaged with the gospel because of the willingness of our brothers and sisters in Christ to work together. When I see examples of that happening, that's exactly what we're after. Mm-hmm. And it's beginning to happen. It's right now, I'd say it's more of a trickle than a flow of water, but it always has to start that way. And it's always harder to engage the places where there's no Christians and there's no churches. So when you're talking about the most difficult spots in the world, that's not going to be easy. But the fact that we're going forward together and we're beginning to see models and examples of people actually doing it, and villages going from no Christians and no churches to having a gospel witness and having churches and going village to village like that, it's really exciting. That's what keeps me going.
So awesome. I want to tell you guys a story. So, and then get a long thing and story, then question. So, I wound up coming to faith at 23 from an orphan. Somebody shared the gospel with no church. Just a guy shared the gospel, gave me a New Testament, high school dropout, got my GED and went, to Bible college. Okay. I know it's not apparent, but, so met my first wife that was married 23 years, lost her to pancreatic cancer at 45. But at this Bible college, there was a guy that was going to Togo, West Africa. His name's Randy Alderman. And I bought his trailer, and that's where my wife and I lived for 2 years before he graduated. And now there's this guy named J.J. Alderman that's connected, that is the son of Randy Alderman. You got to hear God inside of that and see that, like what he's doing. That's like, I'm old. That's like 30 years old, like more than 30 years, right? And I'm connecting back with that guy that I bought, like their trailer, you know? And he spent his whole time over there with and now we're actually working with like deaf people, like inside of Africa around this stuff. So I'm not the obviously the smartest guy in the world, but I'm trying to see and hear what God's doing that way. Because like, guys, I just started from my home. Like I spent my whole life, you know, I didn't know anything but the prevailing model of church in the United States. And I lost my wife and remarried. And then I met Curtis and I just started obeying from my household. And so I don't know, there's a name for him inside a coalition of the willing of people that are catalytic, I think it's spearheaders, like into other countries and stuff. So I know I'm a spearheader in that language, you know, but I'm a catalyst, you know, and God has used me that way. But like at the beginning, it was like in 2013, there weren't a lot of like people actually pursuing multiplying disciples and leaders and churches from their houses in the United States. And Jared, like, I get who you are and I feel you, bro. But like the Timothy Initiative, like, you are like, hey, this is the church, man. This, like, I love the church, the prevailing model of church, right? But like, I felt like an orphan again, like inside of my own country, inside of my brothers and sisters that I love. Okay. Because like, I don't know what that is. Like, there's like this thing in between like movement in the United States and prevailing models of churches. So I wanted to ask that question, Jared, because I know like I honor, I respect, I'm like, God wants to use all the kinds of churches, but there's like this thing, not as much as it used to be, between the very things that we want to see, house to house, city to city, region to region, nation to nation, village to village, where it's not, where we're using movement patterns and principles. But why is that so weird in the United States, Jared?
to have a house church.
Yeah, to for like that's still, I know you know that, like, yeah, bro, that's legit. That's a church that meets in your house and you're multiplying those kind of churches. And I'm for you and I love you. So I can ask Jared that I can ask Jared that question because it is brother to brother. It is coalition of the willing, the vision of that with one another. So I think there's value in that question and hearing his answer that we're on the same page. Like he's not, he doesn't view me as less than or less than church, you know, but I want to hear him say that. And so that we actually have it so it can be heard and seen, you know, that other people can hear it and see it. So I'm sorry, there is a question inside there. I hope you translated that.
Sure. I think the answer is I don't view you as less than. We're equals, right? And maybe to go backwards, I think where you were headed, I think the even the model of Jesus and the ministry he had two tracks. He had a very public facing track and he had a smaller group track, if you will. And the different types and ways that churches function and meet and form, whether it's a more of a traditional church that has a large building and all kinds of programs, or if it's house to house, neighborhood to neighborhood, I think we all agree that the church is the people, not the facilities and the buildings. And all of us are called to be disciples and make disciples.
Amen.
So whatever context that's happening in a large gathering or in a house, we're on the same team. We're playing for the same leader. And most churches are not going to be able to reach the majority of the people in their community. They don't have space practically. So that's right. Even if everybody would come, which they won't, they can't fill them in their buildings. So I think it's there's a great opportunity for both the house church and the maybe legacy church. Oftentimes the vision ends at the back wall in the church building. So I think if you're not against us, right, we're on the same team.
Amen.
If you're out making disciples of Jesus that are making other disciples of Jesus, strategy doesn't matter. Where you meet and how you meet and when you meet, we're on the same team.
I love you, dude. Same page. Tugging on the same end of the rope.
Cool. Amen. I guess for me, one of the things I like about Coalition of the Willing is that the goal is very focused on the advance. It's not a group that gets together and talks about unity for the sake of talking or gets people together to get past conflict for the sake of the, you know, the psychotherapy or whatever. Instead, there's a very clear end goal, objective. One of the things that you've done to get there is be able to put together data tracking. And I know that causes people to ask the question about security. And this has been a recurring theme in Coalition of the Willing. I know because we have a long history with Coalition of the Willing from the beginning in the board meetings and all. And I know this has been a thing that you've had to wrestle with, people not wanting to share information about the fields. And probably it would do us well if you could just one of you say a word to help us understand. We're not collecting information about individual names and addresses of their houses and places where house churches meet and what time they meet. This is aggregated information at the village level that just simply, you know, go on and go with that sentence so that people can rest assured that this is okay security wise. What are we doing to tackle that?
Jerry.
Yeah, so there's different types of data. All we need is your social and the last four digits.
PIN number.
As long as we have that, we're good. I think there's probably...
Jared is funnier than you, Scott, though. You might be better looking, but Jared is definitely funnier.
So there's different types of data, and security is always the first question. And usually the best way to answer that is we're all comfortable with different thresholds of security. So right now, is your car locked or unlocked in the parking lot, wherever you're at? Is your front door locked or unlocked? Depending upon the context that you're coming from, that answer changes. So a lot of us are working in places that are hostile to the gospel, and persecution is a significant factor to consider. And especially when most ministry and movement strategies are not paying church planters. These are not staff members. These are partners in the gospel. And we take very seriously the risks that are being made by the people on the grassroots. If anything happens to us, usually we're going to get kicked out of the country and asked not to come back. But for them, their lives are at stake. So we do feel that the weight of that pressure. And there's two types of data that we're really going after. One is more crowdsourced information on where the church is and isn't. And that's more through the visible church, not necessarily the underground church. So if there's a church building, generally speaking, that's not secret information because a physical building exists. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're talking house churches and underground, that's a different conversation. And when it comes to that sort of information, we're just trying to identify the places where the church is and the places that the church isn't. So we don't need the names of the pastor or the planter. We don't need the names of the church. Oftentimes, churches don't even have names when they're meeting in houses. They're connected to a larger group or a network. So we try to do things through relationships and trust. So if we're in a coalition effort together in a nation, we have to begin with trust. And if you say you guys have churches there, we're going to trust you. We don't need all the details. So we move forward in relationship and through trust. And as we do that, we can learn some better practices, perhaps, in terms of how we capture our information in our readiness, because I think most of the church planting world has not planted with places in mind. It's been a lot more people-centric. And as a result, the location of where the church is and isn't hasn't been on the forefront of our mind. And unintentionally, we've left some significant gaps. So we're kind of coming back in and saying, all the places that you're planting, do you know where they are? And all the places you're planning to plant, do you know if there's a church there or not? Are there Christians there or not? And if we can bring that information together in a secure, in a trusted environment, mm-hmm. we can maximize the kingdom impact.
That's cool. That's awesome. You know, we've had some laughs today just because we know you guys well enough and we love you guys that we feel we're comfortable enough to do that. Right. So, but please know that. Yeah, love the vision. Scott, by the way, congratulations on your promotion as CEO of E3.
Yeah. Thank you.
What's the greatest need for the coalition right now? You know?
I'll say it this way. I think through the last few years of continuing to understand, mold, shape, as we cast a big vision, I think now we have a clear path, to use movement terms. We have a clear path, and there's been simple tools developed. Some of those are all technology based tracking tools. And so now the biggest need that we have moving forward, and Jared, I think you'll agree with this, is the spearheading initiatives in the country, collaborating, coordinating those, that big vision, clear path, simple tools, and starting to execute on that. We're seeing this happen in several countries around the world. And so I think that the obviously we continue to need prayer, and the Spirit of God will continue to mold and shape people and give them a desire to want to collaborate and die to self in that. But practically speaking, as we're launching into new countries, as we're gathering indigenous leaders and local partners and other organizations to sit around the table
and start sharing information with one another so that we could potentially identify the gaps and find the people proximate to that and start determining who's going to go after those targets collectively, is probably the greatest, the next iteration and the greatest need or next step that Coalition is trying to take.
So we want to pray over you. We're going to wrap this up shortly, but we've prayed over and with all the guests that we've had for this season of More Disciples. And we certainly want to pray over you guys and continue in prayer for you to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think about like some of the stuff that you guys just said is like, I totally identify with like where, like every people, every person, every place, like geographically, and then being able to address segments. Like that just makes complete sense to me inside of the whole thing. And then I totally identify like, you know what? Everything proceeds at the pace of relationship. And so like hearing you guys' hearts inside of that, like, yeah, there first has to be willingness and then readiness and then actionable upon that. I just want to let you guys know that like that's deeply encouraging for me to be able to connect, communicate, and collaborate that way with who we have and where we're at, you know, and that like that's not production based. So thank you guys for being on the podcast. Thank you for your transparency. Thank you for sharing. And Scott, go Tigers.
Amen.
We want to pray for that. So if you guys are cool with it, I want to pray over these guys. Yeah. Father, we praise you because you're worthy of praise. We are so grateful that in your providence and sovereignty, you perform all things according to the counsel of your own will, and you do all things well. I thank you for Scott, for Jared. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to spend and be spent for you, Jesus, and to minister their giftings in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters everywhere. We pray your prayer that you would knit our hearts together in such perfect love and unity that the world might know the Father has sent the Son, that the glory of God may cover the earth as the water covers the sea. We pray for the kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray your prayer over my brothers. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the wicked one. Mm-hmm. Cause your face to shine upon them, sustain them, strengthen them, uphold them, Jesus, with the right hand of your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank amen. You.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Thanks guys. It's an honor.
How are you making more disciples? What problems have you encountered? What successes have you celebrated? What questions do you have? Share your stories with us by visiting moredisciples.com/contact. If you're looking for next steps on growing your ability to make and multiply disciples, visit moredisciples.com to find resources, tools, and events all designed to help you make more disciples.